You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Thanks for hanging with us. 5 o'clock, we've got Allison Sibula talking about childhood vaccinations, this new California law that's being proposed, tightens the exemptions. Julie Tacker weighs in during the 6 o'clock hour on a variety of local issues. Look who's here, the one, the only, Mr. Joe Brittingham. Nice suit. Where do you get your suits
from? Thanks, Dave. Oh, well, you know, try to keep it on a... on the high quality here for you.
Remind people of who Joe Brittingham is, sir.
Yes, Brittingham Financial Group in Pismo Beach. Website, www.brittinghamfinancialgroup.com.
What was your day like today? I'm going to pull you off track right away.
Yeah.
What did you do today?
I was working. You know, I'm still working.
But what does that mean?
Well, a typical day is I'm in the office early in the morning. I'm making, you know, kind of getting ready for the day, making calls. I have appointments throughout the morning. A lot of times I'll have a lunch, business lunch.
A lot of clients? I mean, that's who you're meeting with?
Yeah.
And how are they feeling right now? They
I think everybody's
confident?
Pretty calm. I mean, there's always concerns out there, Dave, whether the market's down or the market's up. Investors are always, they tend to be worried, you know, because they don't know what's coming next. And that's what makes it so interesting.
But you don't know what's coming next either.
This is true. This is true.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. I mean, there are times where things seem to be pretty clear, and there's times where things are just chaotic and very hard to interpret. But, you know, the reality is that the markets are fueled with emotion, fear, and greed. And these oftentimes can surprise us.
How'd the market do today, Joe?
Pretty flat today. It was up most of the day, ended up a little bit off. But year-to-date, I think the numbers are still looking pretty good. We got, you know, the Dow Jones is up almost 12% year to date. The S&P is up 15%. The NASDAQ's up 18%. And the 10-year Treasury is just over 2%. Very low interest rates. So, you know, in spite of the fact that we had a very difficult fourth quarter last year, we had the worst December since 1931. Things have, you know, started off with a pretty strong recovery so far, and then consolidating a bit.
Craig, what are you saying?
Oh, today was the first, according to the Brittingham Financial spot we played, today was the first down day in 6 days in a row of up.
That's correct.
Because I listened to the Brittingham Financial
spot. Yeah. Well, it was up most of the day, but, you know.
It ended a little bit down.
Yeah, a little soft.
After 6 days of going up.
What happened?
Again, markets do their thing. You know, it's very hard to know how things are going to end up at the end of the day based on how they open that day.
Right.
So, but, you know, plenty of exciting things going.
Stock market, how's the economy doing in general? I asked that because last week or so there have been some preliminary reports that things might start becoming a little bit shaky. We might be hearing the first rumblings of recession, say, in 2020.
Well, Dave, remember we talk about the market cycle almost every time that I'm on here.
Every time.
Right? Yeah. So, okay. So let's do a little test for you, right? The bull goes up the...
stairs.
Stairs, right? And the bear goes out the...
door.
Window.
Whatever.
Good close. Well, there's the
sometimes it goes out the door.
Yeah, that could be too. But, you know, ultimately this economic cycle, which is periods of economic expansion followed by periods of economic contraction. Those are the recessions. And the expansions are generally longer periods of time and gradual increases, whereas the contractions are sharper and more, you know, usually a lot shorter. Right.
But are the tariffs with the whole thing with Mexico, with China, whoever else you want to pick a fight with, is that helping the stability of the economy?
Well, you know, ultimately, there's a lot of layers to these things. You know, the economy, U.S. economy is strong. There are some signals of global weakening, you know, in the Eurozone and China, some other areas. But ultimately, the U.S. economy has still been clipping along at a great pace. The tariffs create a massive uncertainty, you know, in terms of how things are going to transpire. I don't believe this is going to be a long-term situation. You know, I think that
tariffs.
I mean, I don't think we're going to be here next year at this time with 20-25% tariffs. I don't believe that. I mean, Mexico seems to be getting worked out, you know. But a lot of this is posturing and politics as well, you know. Ultimately, the U.S. as the largest economy in the world, you know, we still have very low interest rate environment.
But when you threaten with tariffs, does that not destabilize the economy because of uncertainty?
Yeah, it creates uncertainty, and that uncertainty, you know, naturally weighs on investment and, you know, assets and risk assets and so on. But, you know, the Federal Reserve has its role. We go over this, I think, every time I talk with you. Trump is certainly very critical of Powell and the Federal Reserve for raising interest rates. You know, they've had 9 interest rate hikes. 7 have been under his watch. And he would love to see them lower interest rates. You know, I mean, he's putting, you know, as much emphasis on that as he can. But, you know, the Fed is.
But again, Trump picked Powell.
No question. So it's just politically expedient to, you know, throw darts at what you don't like. You know, ultimately, he would love to see rates come down, and there's talk, a lot of talk about that.
And what's the feeling about Powell? Is he doing a good job?
So, you know, I feel that he's doing the job he's hired to do. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, they're privy to a lot more analysis and information than you or myself. So, but their role is to keep the market from getting overheated and keeping it from getting, you know, too weak.
And he also seems to be reasserting his independence.
Absolutely. And that's super important.
Trying to send a message to Trump that I will not bow to political pressure.
Yeah. And that's always been the case with the Federal Reserve. And but they are going to be meeting later this month. June 18th, 19th is the next Fed meeting where they will discuss whether to move interest rates up or down. There's a lot of expectation that they will, in July, reduce interest rates. I personally don't think they will, but...
What kind of reduction might we see?
Maybe a quarter point. You know, it's possible is what the expectation is out there right now.
And what does that translate into, Joe?
Well, that signals to the market that, you know, there's some accommodation for markets. But I think that the U.S. economy is strong here. And even though we have some global weakness, I don't think the Fed will need to reduce rates. But we'll see. The closer we get to election, Dave, for 2020, the more they're going to want to stay away from any big moves. So, you know, if they're...
Because they don't want to be accused of being political.
Right, right. I mean, you know, Trump would love to see him reduce interest rates here.
Joe Brittingham on this broadcast, his website is...
BrittinghamFinancialGroup.com.
Phone number is...
295-6555.
We're just talking about the economy. You want in on the conversation? Join us. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Joe's giving us his insights as to what's happening. We've been talking a little bit about the Federal Reserve. Where's U.S. inflation these days?
So inflation for the last 7 years has been running below the Fed's target of 2%. And so another reason why, you know, I think that things are going to be pretty stable going forward. But, you know, it's not really expressing itself too much here. Again, the Fed meeting June 18th, 19th, I'm sure that'll be a focal point for them. And it seems like the markets are pricing in some potential interest rate cut here. So,
yeah, it would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Would you see Trump attend one of those meetings? Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah.
Talk about your drama. And he's the kind of guy that would do that.
Well, in the past, during market expansions, when the Fed has cut during the expansion... you know, that can sometimes renew a bull market, you know, and the fact that they've had to tighten or raise rates 9 times in the last few years has given them that ability. It's almost like an insurance cut, if you will. Goldman Sachs did some analysis on returns of equities following the first rate cut, and they've noticed about an average of 2% gain in the first 3 months following the first cut and a 14% gain in equities in the first 12 months following the first cut.
So, for example, Joe, how are things? Let's just look at one sector of the economy. How about small businesses? How are small businesses doing?
Yeah, I think there's some strength there. There's a lot of optimism there. They rose to the optimism amongst small businesses rose to about a 7-month high in May. Companies are increasing their spending. They've got confidence in continued economic growth. And it's basically supported by their hiring and profit trends. Longest streak in 2 years here, signaling a better assessment of small business despite the uncertainty of trade wars.
Well, there's an interesting article in the Sacramento Bee that the exception is California, where more and more small businesses are leaving California because of the tax structure, mm-hmm. just the whole business climate. And there's like seven different states you're going to, from Texas to Idaho.
I'll be sticking around, Dave. I'm not going anywhere.
No, I'm not implying that you are. But just the idea that, yes, it's good for small businesses, but not necessarily in California. And so a lot of them are just picking up and going to other states.
Yeah, I think there can be... California's a little bit of a different animal compared to a lot of the whole...
Yeah, so when I hear your figures, I'm thinking of that article I read today. It's like, yeah, sounds like across the country, small business is doing well, but not so much in California.
Well, I don't know. I have to do more research on
that.
That may be. You may be right.
I'll send you the article.
Okay, that's even better.
All right. You might enjoy it.
I would love to read it.
You have any clients who are small businesses?
Plenty.
Then you could share the article with them. My friend Dave Congleton showed this to me.
I think they know you.
Joe Brittingham on this broadcast. We'll come back and chat some more. This is AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Tomorrow, it's Mike Brown from CoLab. On Thursday, it is the mayor of Arroyo Grande, Karen Ray Russom, talking about the city and finances. Also, what's going on with racetrack horses? A lot of them just being killed. We'll talk about that. On Friday, Jeff Eccles joins us. We're here weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Top of the hour is ABC Radio News. Then Allison Cibula joins us. Let's talk about vaccinations and children. And a law that's being proposed here in California. We are back with financial guru Joe Brittingham, whose website is?
BrittinghamFinancialGroup.com.
If you have any questions for Joe, you want to join in the conversation, this would be the time to call. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Back on the recession, how do you define a recession, and what are the warning signs?
Okay, so coming back to the market cycle, right? The market... Basically, the cycle is an expansion and contraction, and a bull market is born on pessimism. When there's a lot of panic selling, this is where bull markets are born. That's usually in the recession, followed by growing on skepticism, maturing on optimism, and dying on euphoria.
Sounds like a song lyric.
Well, ultimately, a recession technically is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth.
Right.
I can't see where we're going to see something like that. We do have some global weakness, but I can't see how that's going to translate into negative growth for the U.S.
Let's take a call. We got Jerry on KVEC. Hi, Jerry.
Dave, I did taxes and Social Security, withholding and so forth, permitting.
Right.
And I don't think it was unusual, except a lot of time and money going out of the business, other than I think for a small corp LLC, it's $800 a year, and I don't know, I think that's a fairly substantial fee for a document. But the point I want to make is, if you have a small business downtown, the rents are high. I don't think that's Sacramento making them high. The utilities are sky high. These are factors that are not brought on by the state.
Yeah, so... Jerry, so does this have to do with why small businesses are leaving California? Is that your point?
Well, it costs a fortune to have a business. Somebody had a print shop or another type of shop, and the cost of running a business in Georgia was about half of what it costs in California. But most of the cost has to do with the cost of rent and utilities. Our rentals are very high, and our utilities are sky high.
Well, I'll post this article. I'll find it. But it talks about all the businesses, small businesses specifically, they're leaving California, and they targeted six other states. Taxes are too high, expenses are too high, and small businesses just can't handle it anymore.
I didn't see it in the taxes, although I wasn't in favor of that small corp $800 check due to Sacramento to be an LLC or a small corp.
Yeah. I hear you, Jerry. I appreciate the call. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We invite your phone calls for Joe Brittingham, who's just explaining the basis of what a recession is.
Yeah, coming back to that.
And the tariffs, you like the way Trump is doing the tariffs.
I think it will have some I think it will have some impact. I think that it will.
How so?
Well, I think that essentially, you know, it's going to hurt China more than it's going to hurt us. And at some point, their deal will have to be hammered out, hopefully sooner than later. So I don't think it's going to escalate to the point to where some of the market might fear that it will. It's just not practical for anyone. But, you know, time will tell.
Let's take another call here. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Jay is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Jay.
Hi, David. I had a question in regards to the Social Security, future of Social Security.
Go ahead.
And also, I saw something coming up about Frontline investigating pension funds. In the future, are they going to be broke? And kind of what outlook we have as that is helping our retirement, our funding retirement in golden years, so to speak.
So I'm not sure exactly what your question is, but I know more and more companies and individuals are going to define contribution plans as opposed to defined benefit plans. That's going to be the trend that you're going to see going forward, meaning the investors themselves will have to manage their retirement and build it and, you know, put away for it. So I think you're going to see less of the defined benefit plans in the future.
What about Social Security?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly going to expect mine at some point, you know. So,
but you're not concerned?
I'm always concerned, but I have confidence that a solution will emerge, you know, as needed. So I'm not of the mind that it will go away.
What else, Jay?
Don't know.
All right.
They're talking about the pension plans, I guess, not being viable in the future. I don't know. I just mentioned the Frontline. I saw that, yeah. But I haven't. Actually,
if we have a pension, Joe, should we be concerned?
Well, again, like I said, I don't think that if you're with a big company and you have a pension that you need to be worried about that particular pension. But in the future, there will be more defined contribution plans, meaning investors will have to do that own investment for their own.
All right, Jay, thank you. Off the Stolberg Law KBC text line, somebody wants to know about hedging in the market.
In what way? In what way?
It says, ask Joe about hedging in the market.
Well,
they text us, I read them.
Ultimately, lots of different ways to diversify or hedge, if you will.
As a follow-up, is a recession a good time to posture oneself for the future?
Well, I think recession, you know, asset prices come down for the short term. Sometimes that could be weeks or months, but it's a temporary period before the Federal Reserve comes in, reduces interest rates, maybe does some quantitative easing, prints money, buys bonds. I mean, they have these tools to help influence the economy, stimulate the markets. So I would encourage investors to, you know, look at those as opportunities as opposed to running for the hills and just not paying attention, because those are great opportunities to be investing.
We're chatting with Joe Brittingham from
Brittingham Financial Group.
Website is?
BrittinghamFinancialGroup.com.
Oh, what's going on with Brexit?
Well, we'll see.
What a mess.
I personally think they have to work something out, but, you know, the Bank of England is continuing to reiterate the downsides and the risks to the UK economy, you know, and global trade tensions and so on. Interest rates could rise there. You know, if they leave the euro without a deal, it could hamper growth in the UK, make them less attractive trading partners and less appeal as a global business location. So I'm of the mind that has to get, something has to come of that in terms of some kind of deal, but we'll see. The whole eurozone, though, is you know, got some pressures as well. And
now, what's the eurozone?
That's the euro area, the euro, okay. Europe. You know, you have the European Central Bank, which, Dave, is the equivalent to the Fed in the United States, right? You have the Fed as the central bank for the U.S. You have the ECB, which is essentially the Fed of the eurozone. And they're taking a very dovish tone right now. They're stating they're willing to reduce interest rates, resume bond purchasing, which is quantitative easing, you know, and combat any further slowdown that threatens to restore price stability in the region. Ultimately, they've had interest rates at record lows. Some areas are still in negative interest rate area, but they're not suggesting a recession or deflation at this time.
So what will happen to England, Great Britain, if they leave?
Well, they'll just be an independent entity. You know, they won't be part of this bigger bigger entity. So
President Trump seems to think that he could make some kind of deal with them to offset leaving Brexit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he feels he could probably do darn near anything, Dave, you know, let's be honest. But ultimately, this is just the world that we're in right now. It's central banking, quantitative easing, interest rate changes. This is all a reflection of changing economic environment. So, but the ECB is a far more dovish position than the U.S. right now.
Let's squeeze in Grant on KVEC. Hi, Grant.
Oh, hi. I had a question about Social Security.
Go ahead.
Okay. Everybody pays into this and then people take out. Does it all the money you pay in stay in the fund, or does it get taken out for some other purpose by some other entity or, say, the main government?
Well, I think it's supposed to stay in the fund. Whether that happens or not, I couldn't tell you with certainty. But, all the money that goes in,
But isn't that the problem? It gets raided?
Yeah, that's part of it. But the bigger issue is that when Social Security was created, decades ago, there were a lot more workers per retiree. So it wasn't this insolvent kind of situation. And now with baby boomers retiring and getting of retirement age, that's changed the landscape.
Grant?
Uh-huh. I've heard that at some point, at the end of the fiscal year or something, that they will give the money that's left over to the federal government, and then they get an IOU back. So it's basically gone. Is that true?
Don't know.
Sorry, Grant. Quick text here. Would it be more beneficial for someone who plans on leaving California in the next 10 years to invest money that they would otherwise pay additional for a mortgage and then use investment funds to purchase out of state?
There's a lot of variables there.
Kathy should call you.
That's a good idea.
Kathy should call Joe Brittingham at what number?
805-295-6555.
That website?
BrittinghamFinancialGroup.com.
There you go. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Dave.
Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Allison Sibula is up next. Have you had your vaccination lately? Let's talk.